Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Ahead of any Olympic Games, the question of cost to the host city often dominates conversation. The idea of impact and legacy is often not thought about until years later. While it's unclear if the already rescheduled Summer Games will indeed go ahead in Tokyo this year, our Daniel Bache has been reflecting on the legacy of three Olympic Games hosted in his home nation of Canada, in Vancouver, Montreal, and Calgary. We set today's scene out west, on the prairies, where Daniel tells us of the impact of 88.
When I was 12 years old, my family packed up our car and drove across Canada to Calgary, a city that would become our new home and one I, like many Canadians, had only experienced through film and sports on television. It was 1998, 10 years after the city put itself on the map for people right around the world as host of the 1988 Winter Olympic Games.
Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in the foothills of the majestic Rocky Mountains, welcome to Alberta's Rocky Mountain salute to the 15th Olympic Winter Games.
A few heartwarming stories of last place finishes from those games became the best known moments, having been remade into Hollywood films. There was the improbable Jamaican bobsled team as remade in the John Candy flick Cool Runnings.
Feel the rhythm! Feel the rhyme! Get on up! It's bobsled time!
And the story of Michael Eddie the Eagle Edwards, the British ski jumper with those huge glasses.
And where do you think you're going, young man?
The Olympics.
I know.
There was also the fictional rom-com The Cutting Edge about the Olympic hockey player who becomes a figure skater, but we don't have to go there. No matter how you arrive in Calgary, the legacy of the Olympics is right there in front of you. The towering ski jumps and bobsleigh run are visible from the Trans-Canada Highway. And the Saddle Dome Ice Hockey Arena is a fixture of the downtown skyline, with those incredible snow-capped Rocky Mountains in the background. I'd stayed up many late nights as a kid in small-town Ontario watching the Calgary Flames hockey team playing at that Saddle Dome.
You're looking live inside the Olympic Saddle Dome, where the Sea of Red is on hand, hoping to be sitting in on an historic night for the Calgary Flames.
All those years after the Games, it was thrilling to be in a city known for playing host to gold medal triumphs and those aforementioned epic defeats. In my teenage years, I would ski regularly at Canada Olympic Park, speed skate at the Olympic Oval, watch football games at the stadium where the opening and closing ceremonies were held, and even played college ice hockey on the Saddle Dome ice, where the Soviet Union had won the gold medal. I'll never forget hitting the post on a penalty shot with a chance to win the game, and then breaking my nose in that same game, my first ever for the team, not my finest hour for sure. My point being, in Calgary, there is still a tangible impact of an event held more than 30 years ago. There are sports venues people continue to use, and indeed many of Canada's current Olympians choose to live and train in Calgary using many of those same facilities. And it's perhaps why Calgarians voted against the city bidding to host a future Olympic Games recently, because they'd already done it right once. But in reality, of course, it was more about the cost to taxpayers of upgrading all of those venues to meet current standards. While the city may never host another medal ceremony, there is one timeless venue I think is the most important, or certainly to me. In the heart of the city's downtown, in the shadow of its historic city hall built of beautiful sandstone in the early 1900s, lies Olympic Plaza. I'll never forget seeing it the first time I rode the C train downtown by myself. That's codename for Calgary's LRT system, itself in part a legacy of the Olympics. Right off a busy downtown thoroughfare sits a park I've always believed to be undervalued. But how can you go wrong with a green space with fountains in the summer and a perfect ice rink to skate on in the winter, all within sight of the city's most famous hotels and landmarks? Through my teenage years and into my 20s, I saw some of my favorite bands play there, met many friends for coffee, and even held interviews there with city councillors when I was starting out as a reporter. During university, I worked at one of the city's top restaurants that had an enviable location right off the plaza. Its dining room looking out onto the Christmas lights and ice rink in winter. In summer, its patio an oasis in the heart of the city. In the winter, after my colleagues and I had seen the last diners into cabs and polished every last fork and knife in the dining room, we'd sometimes lace up our skates in a pickup match to see who was paying for beers later with our tip money. In a city of over a million people, these are the memories of just one Calgarian. But thanks to the Olympics, every person has the chance to make their own memories there in that small park that sits in less than one city block. It has nothing to do with triumph and failure or remembering who won the gold, but about real legacy and impact people can benefit from every day. That is the advantage and legacy of hosting the Olympics. The Games will put their stamp on a city forever, one way or another.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Daniel Bache for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck, goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.